Hello, this is Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina, and ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part of the Discipleship Foundations series. This is Chapter 45, Authority to Forgive. The authority to forgive is part of the preaching of the gospel. One of our chief themes relating to the proper use of authority is that we must be under authority in order to use authority. God's servants are messengers or ambassadors carrying the gospel message and the authority of the King of Kings. John 20, verses 22 and 23 says, "And when he, Jesus, had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.'" New American Standard Bible. Greek verb tenses in the New Testament writings are significant. In the phrase, quote, "their sins have been forgiven them," end of quote, the verb is in the perfect tense, which signifies completed past action that continues to affect the present. Our ability to forgive sins is a function of what Christ already accomplished on the cross. If people believe our presentation of the gospel, their sins are forgiven, not because we personally forgive them, but because they believe our claim that Christ already has. Our presentation is part of providing them with forgiveness. When we forgive, it is only because Christ has already forgiven. When we do not forgive, it is because he has not forgiven. Our ministry and message have no validity unless they perfectly correspond to his. Isaiah 61, verse 1, was Jesus' theme verse for his ministry here on earth. One of the main components of that ministry was the proclamation of freedom. I want to read that verse to you. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners." New American Standard Bible. The gospel is a proclamation of deliverance from the penalty and oppression that sin produces. It is an invitation which requires a response of repentance and faith. The gospel says that forgiveness of sins is available to all who believe in Christ and receive him as Lord and Savior. Acts 13, verses 38 and 39 says, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, Christ, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses." New American Standard Bible. When we announce these words, we use Christ's authority to declare forgiveness of sins and retention of sins. Forgiveness to those who believe the gospel and retention of sins and damnation to those who do not. John 3, verses 18 through 21 says, "There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him," meaning Christ. "But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. New Living Translation. We also have a responsibility to forgive sins committed against us personally. When we do this, it is an acknowledgement that we are sinners too, in deep need of God's forgiveness. When we release others from whatever debt they may owe us, we both set them free from our judgment against them and liberate ourselves from self-condemnation. If I refuse to forgive those who offend me, Jesus said that it interferes with my being forgiven by God. Simply put, we reap what we sow. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15 records these words of our Lord. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. New Living Translation. It is important to understand, however, that if I refuse to forgive another person, my lack of obedience in this area does not stop God from forgiving that person. The one who sins against me can find forgiveness and freedom from God, despite my smallness of heart. Otherwise, the gospel would be limited by the hardness of people's hearts. Conversely, when we open our hearts to forgive someone, it opens wide God's heart of mercy toward us. Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." New American Standard Bible. The Roman Catholic Church uses the opening verse in today's meditation to authorize its priests to grant or retain absolution for sins in the confessional. This gives men the power of forgiveness in a way that was never intended by God, because it places another mediator between us and God. The Bible is clear that there is only one mediator, and his name is Jesus. 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 7. One must wonder why a church supposedly representing God would teach people that they need another mediator to stand between them and God. The only logical conclusion is that it is done to manipulate and control. The gospel came to set the captive free, not imprison us under a religious system. When we sin, the Bible teaches us that forgiveness comes from God alone. Listen to these words of King David in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge." New American Standard Bible. However, if God wants us to seek forgiveness from those here on earth, we offend too. Jesus said in Matthew 5:23-24, "So if you are standing before the altar in the temple offering a sacrifice to God, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there beside the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God." New Living Translation. Confessing our sins to another human being can have extremely beneficial effects, but does not provide us with justification before God. Confession to others is part of our exposing our sins to the light, which God uses to help break us free from any residual power of sin in our lives. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." NIV. Such confession also opens the door for physical healing. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." NIV. Only God has the power to forgive sins, and this power hinges upon Jesus' offering of himself on Calvary. Since God is just, he could not forgive us unless someone had paid a perfect ransom price to satisfy his justice. That is what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Now God is both just and the justifier of those who place their trust in his Son. Romans 3:23-26. In conclusion, it is important to realize that Christ died once for all to provide forgiveness and justification for all who come to him by faith. Hebrews 10:14-18. Those who come to Christ will never be condemned for their sins. John 5:24 and Romans 8:1. Those who come to Christ are forgiven for all past, present, and future sins. Some believe this great truth gives us a license to sin. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Here is Paul's response to such a suggestion. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? New Living Translation, Romans 6:1-2. When Christ liberated us from the guilt and condemnation associated with sin through the new birth, he also changed our hearts and set us free from sin's power to dominate us. Now, at last, we are free to serve God from the heart because it is what we want, not because it is a law. As the woman caught in adultery learned, once we experience God's forgiveness, we're free to live for him. And I'll end with this quote from John 8:10-11. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, the woman caught in adultery, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go from now on, sin no more." Thank you for listening.